Maiva mana adatsya, mai bodhim vivesaya, nivasishasi maiva, atha urdvana samsaya, atha chitam samadhatu, nasaknoshi mai stina, abhyasa yogena tato, Mami chaptum dhananjaya. Bhagavad Gita, as it is, chapters 12. These verses open. So, just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence in me. Thus you will live in me always without a doubt. My dear Arjuna, O winner of wealth, if you cannot fix your mind upon me without deviation, then follow the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga. In this way, develop a desire to attain me. Purport. In this verse, two different processes of Bhakti Yoga are indicated. The first applies to one who has actually developed an attachment for Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, by transcendental love. And the other is for one who has not developed an attachment for the Supreme Person by transcendental love. For this second class, there are different prescribed rules and regulations one can follow to be ultimately elevated to the stage of attachment to Krishna. Bhakti Yoga is the purification of the senses. At the present moment, in material existence, the senses are always impure, being engaged in sense gratification. But by the practice of Bhakti Yoga, these senses can become purified. In a purified state, they come directly in contact with the Supreme Lord. In this material existence, I may be engaged in some service to some master, but I don't really lovingly serve my master. I simply serve to get some money. And the master also is not in love. He takes service from me and pays me. So there is no question of love. But for spiritual life, one must be elevated to this pure stage of love. The stage of love can be achieved by practice of devotional service performed with the present senses. This love of God is now in a dormant state in everyone's heart. And there, love of God is manifested in different ways, but it is contaminated by the material association. Now the heart has to be purified of the material association and that dormant natural love for Krishna has to be revived. That is the whole process. To practice the regulative principles of Bhakti Yoga, one should, under the guidance of an expert spiritual master, follow certain principles. One should rise early in the morning, take bath, enter the temple, offer prayers, chant Hare Krishna, then collect flowers to offer to the deity, cook foodstuffs to offer to the deity, take prasadam, and so on. There are various rules and regulations which one should follow. And one should constantly hear Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam from pure devotees. This practice can help anyone rise to the level of love of Godhead. And then he is sure of his progress into the spiritual kingdom of God. This practice of Bhakti Yoga under the rules and regulations, with the direction of a spiritual master, will surely bring one to the stage of love of Godhead. Thus ends Bhaktivedanta Swami translation purport to the 12th chapter, 8th and 9th verse. In the Bhagavad Gita as it is, in the chapter entitled Bhakti Yoga or Devotional Service. So here are two kinds of consciousness are being referred to. One is where somebody can just fix their mind and intelligence on the transcendental personality of Godhead. Someone who's able to keep their consciousness on the spiritual truth, the spiritual source of everything, the personality of transcendence. So that's already the highest meditation. That's already the perfectional stage. Sada Tulsi. That's already the perfectional stage. So first Krishna is recommending that. There'll be somebody who's Lord Chaitanya, he showed that level of consciousness. 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya went to perform a ceremony for his father. His father had passed away, and he went to perform Pindi, which is a ceremony for a deceased forefather to send them a packet of good karma and spiritual blessings. So he went in order to do that ceremony, but as he was doing that, and en route to going there at Gaya, he happened to meet the great spiritual master Ishwarapuri. Ishwarapuri was the son of the disciple of Madhavendra Puri. And he was a very powerful spiritual master. So then Lord Chaitanya decided that I need to get initiated. Initiation means when we get the spiritual shelter and guidance of a spiritual master. Sometimes we're trying to find a spiritual way by reading books, by searching here and there, by just kind of on our own. We're not sure whether we're doing the right thing or not. Sometimes it feels good, sometimes we're not sure. Is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? So we're kind of going searching in the dark. Last night I was staying in a new place and the light was turned off. I woke up in the middle of the night. So I'm searching in the dark. How to find the light? So that's something what it's like when you don't have a spiritual master. You're just searching around. Maybe you hit your leg against something in the dark or you slip. So Lord Chaitanya, he felt, if I want to cross over this ocean of material conditioning, we're born in the material world, we don't know our full potential. We need to have a spiritual guide. Otherwise we may waste our human form of life. So he decided, I want to get initiated. So he asked Ishwarpuri Maharaj to give him initiation. But initially Ishwarpuri was hesitant. He said that, no, you're a very great scholar, and what can I teach you? But somehow he avoided to give him initiation. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu insisted. He fell at his feet. He grabbed his feet. He begged him to please give me initiation. Otherwise, I won't be able to cross over the ocean of birth and death unless I have a bona fide spiritual master. I'll be like a ship set loose on the ocean in the waves and the wind without a captain, just being rocked and pushed and shoved and don't know where it's going to go because there's no captain to guide it in the path. So you must give me initiation. He was begging. So 500 years ago, then finally Ishwarpuri said, okay, I'll give you initiation because you're so insistent and sincere about it. So he gave him initiation. And he spoke the mantras in his ear. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
And other mantras. And then after that, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu transformed. He became a totally different person. It was his dormant love for Krishna completely awakened. He felt so much love. He just started to sing and dance. He felt so joyful. He felt so much separation. He wanted to see Krishna. His desire for knowing Krishna, his love for Krishna, everything just started like erupted like a volcano. So he was singing and dancing in the Vishnupad temple in Gaya, this very special temple. With the lotus footprint of Vishnu is the deity. Vishnu, the Supreme Lord, stepped on a stone there and left his footprint. And his footprint has some particular unique markings. It's not just like a plain foot. It has flag and different kinds of symbols that are etched in his foot. So those were melted into this stone, etched into it just by the impression of his lotus footprint. So that happened a long time ago. But a temple was constructed over that footprint, and people worship that footprint like a deity. So Vishnu Pada, Pada means foot, foot of Vishnu, footprint. It's a footprint temple. So in that temple he was dancing and he was so ecstatic and he realized everyone's looking at him. So he felt self-conscious. And he went and he said he did a ceremony for his deceased father. There's the ceremony, there's two parts. You offer some things, some worship to the lotus footprint of Vishnu. Then you also offer some food, some offerings, and those things are like a sacred sacrament. And then all those are offered for the benefit of the forefather. And if you have any grandparents or great grandparents or parents or uncles or some person that already passed away that you'd like to send a package of good karma, so in their next life they have a they say they're got cancer and they're there and all this, they got a miraculous cure, or they're financially down and all of a sudden, you know, everything turns around, or they're in some really hellish condition and everything becomes good again. Anybody have anybody like that you'd like to send a package of or some spiritual benefit to him? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Wow, some nice people here. It's just people that want to send their forefathers this kind of spiritual blessings. They're called putras or putris. You understand that? Pu means help. And tra means to deliver. And tri means same thing, to deliver but feminine. So someone who can deliver a mother, father, forefather, fore ancestor from a hellish condition, they're a putra or a putri. A son or daughter, grandson, granddaughter, whatever, some who's very helpful for them. It says one thing that the married people should hope is that after they die, their descendants, their children, someone amongst them would be so kind as to do a worship like this and send them a boost of spiritual merit, which may save them from even from the cycle of birth and death. So while Lord Chaitanya was doing this ceremony and he was bathing the footprint of Vishnu with milk and honey and yogurt and natural things, he started to feel so much love for Vishnu and Krishna. The tears were pouring from his eyes, his body was quivering. He was ecstatic. So, from that point on, Lord Chaitanya was very much focused. It's like, you know, just somehow his love awakened. Before that, he was a professor, he was a great scholar, he was a religious person, but he wasn't apparently always focused on Krishna. It looked like he had other preoccupations, academics and things, winning debates. But from that point on, everything was centered around Krishna. He became the prime example of Krishna consciousness. So that's what this first verse is saying. Someone who's like completely absorbed. But that's very difficult. I mean, to be completely absorbed, you have to love Krishna. Just like someone's infatuated by someone, they're absorbed in thinking about someone. That kind of total absorption. I was at the Koln Rath Yatra and I met a young boy there. I mean, not so, maybe 25 or so. Not a boy exactly, young man. And he looked kind of like, he just, I don't know, something attracted me. Like, he looked a little under the weather or something. I said, "How are you?" "Wie geht's?" "How are you?" And a few German words I know. And he told me, "Actually, I'm doing very bad. My girlfriend broke up from me and I'm feeling really down. So I just came to Koln in order to get some, like, get my head together and everything. And when I see this festival you're having, chanting and dancing and the car, the chariot, I don't know, it makes me feel very good. Somehow I feel very happy seeing this." I mean, here was the person, he was like absorbed in his girlfriend, but his girlfriend left him. So he was frustrated, and then somehow the Rath Yatra was giving him a spiritual relief. So like that person, to some extent, he was absorbed because of losing his girlfriend. So he was just thinking about her all the time. When one of them stopped thinking about her, maybe because it was over. Now, in the material world, people, it's natural, hopefully husband and wife, they would have that kind of relationship. Maybe the children look to their parents like that. Parents should be caring for their children. So in In the material world, we have a kind of reflection of that. So when all we actually have that kind of a focus on Krishna, that's what we call as a love. It's not expecting something in return. We just want to please the person we love. I want to do something to please Krishna because he's so wonderful, he's done so much for me. Whatever our motive is, should be a pure motive, just to please him. Now sometimes people complain that, well, Krishna consciousness appears to be a bit mechanical. You chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, on your beads so many times. So it seems mechanical. Why do you have to count? Why do you have to do repeat things? So that's what the second verse says. If you don't have a natural love, but we're just naturally all the time doing things for Krishna, then if we have some kind of guidelines of things we could do that are pleasing to Krishna, like chanting the mantras. Just like we said, putra means deliver from hell, mantra, man means the mind, and tra means to deliver. So mantra means a vibration that liberates our consciousness. So it's the Sanskrit language. It's considered the original mother language of the earth planet. And so we use the literatures that are written in this mother language. They're very ancient, timeless teachings. So anyway, that's another topic. But so if we don't have a natural love for Krishna, then we need to awaken that. Just like Lord Chaitanya, he was bathing that footprint of Vishnu, and somehow that awakened his love. For some people, it just awakens very fast. And for some people, it may take years to awaken. Or it awakens gradually. So singing, just like, I don't know the name of this Prabhu here was chanting. Manaji was? Madhu Mati. She was singing such nice bhajans. So that those songs kind of awaken devotional sentiments and feelings. Very sweet. So Madhumati also, that means very sweet mentality. Name of Radharani. So if we can awaken love for Krishna, then it also awakens love for everybody else. Because Krishna is like the root of existence. Everything is coming from Krishna. If we love the root, then you love the branches and the tree and the leaves and the fruits and the flowers. You love everything. So we want to do this. Some people are glorifying that we should have universal love. We should have universal brotherhood. If we have love for the Father, then naturally we'll love our brothers and sisters. It's hard to have a universal brotherhood if there's no universal Father. So we believe that there's one spiritual being, supreme being, supreme Father. And we have some very confidential information about him. So if you hear that information, if you get some more news about what he does, what's he like, because he's such a wonderful person, he has got such wonderful loving qualities, that when you hear about him from a devotee, from a spiritual master, from in association with spiritually awakened people, or awakening people, then our natural love awakens also. We all have this natural nature to love Krishna, but it's just lying dormant. So instead we love so many other things. Some people love their sports, or they love their art, or they love their music, or they love their books, or they love their dog or their cat. We all have this nature, we want to love something. Everybody's looking for a friend. Some people looking for a friend in a man or a woman. Or people are looking for a friend. But ultimately we find that Krishna is the best friend. But he never lets us down. So that's why it's recommended here that if we have a regular practice to hear about Krishna, to do some service for Krishna, then this has an effect of awakening our spiritual attraction to Krishna, our spiritual love for Krishna. Krishna being the Sanskrit word for the Supreme Being. We believe there's only one Supreme Being, and he's addressed in different languages by different names. Some people call him God or Allah. In Sanskrit they say Krishna, Rama. He has thousands of names in Sanskrit. I think in Islam they say 99 names. They have different, so there's different names. In the Jewish tradition they have a few confidential names, only the rabbis are supposed to chant. So these names of that Supreme Being have got spiritual potency. So we regularly sing these names. Normally these have been kept very secret, only high priests and great mystics knew about these mantras and these names. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu opened this box, opened this treasure house, and said, let everyone chant these names. And by chanting the names, you awaken your spirituality very quickly. When somebody, by chanting, like there's a nice verse I sang at the beach in Italy last night. It's a simple song, and all the Italians, they clapped their hands and they sang with me, young and old. It's Radha Krishna Bolo 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 Re Sobai, Radha Krishna Bolo 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 Re Sobai. Radha Krishna, that's the supreme energy, the supreme female aspect of the Lord, and Krishna, the supreme male aspect, masculine aspect of the Lord. Both aspects are there in the supreme. So chant. Bol means to chant. Radha Krishna, bol, 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 aray. So everyone sing out their names. So that's a song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. It's very simple. Radha Krishna bol bol bolo re sobai, Radha Krishna bol bol bolo re sobai, Radha Krishna bol bol bolo re sobai. So one verse in the song is Krishna bol bejabe Pulaka Habe Jorabe Aki Bolitai Krishna Bolve Jabe Pulaka Habe Jorabe Aki Bolitai Radha Krishna Bolore Sobai Radha Krishna Bolore Sobai. Krishna bolve jabe. When you chant the name Krishna, pula kahave, you feel ecstasy coming in your consciousness, so the hairs on your body will stand on end. Pulaka hai. Pulaka means like hair standing on end. Electrified. Pulaka hai. Jorave aki. Your eyes will be filled with tears of love. Vulitai. And so in that kind of consciousness, one chants. Now if somebody has their love already awakened, immediately they chant, and they'll be feeling this watery eyes and hairs flying and everything. But that, not everyone will feel that right away because they haven't awakened that level of love. So then by repeating and doing, then gradually that starts to awaken. Their heart is maybe very hard. Because in the material world, everything is business. You do my work, I pay you. You don't work, I fire you. It's a hard world. Everybody ever get fired? You all worked hard. Now they have labor laws. But how many think that it's a hard world out there? Few people. Is there a lot of mercy out there? So, even there, I mean, because I live in a village in India where people, when you meet each other on the street, you say, hello, how are you? You know, what you been doing? You know, just people, it's like, it's very friendly people. And I come in the city, sometimes I just say good morning, and people look, you know, like what's wrong with you? Why good morning? Who are you? Why are you speaking to me? It's, yeah, the village is a bit more personal, small place. People wave at each other when they go by. So, I had to finish, I think, pretty soon. And so this is a called process of Bhakti Yoga. It's ultimately a 24-hour kind of meditation that we do everything for Krishna. You don't have to come here and live in a temple and wear monk's robes and shave your hair and wear the kind of dress or things that I do. You can practice from your home. You can keep your clothes, whatever you like to wear. You can keep your house. But how to spiritualize, though, you can learn. Like, we have this temple here. This has got some very spiritual atmosphere. Maybe you can feel it. But how to make a little miniature temple in your house so that your house becomes a spiritual world. An extension of the spiritual world. So you can do the daily things that are done in the temple too, a very simple way. You can do some of them in your house. And by doing that in your house, you'll find that the whole life becomes very peaceful. Your natural love starts to awaken. Your outlook on life, on people, everything starts to change and become more positive, become more dynamic. Awaken. So this process of bhakti means it's the yoga of love. I mean, you can do the physical yoga, that's not an obstacle, but that's mainly for learning good health postures for meditating. We don't do the silent meditation very much because our whole day is a meditation. Everything we do is a meditation. What we eat, like when you eat, you can think that this food is blessed by Krishna. Then you can meditate on Krishna while you're eating. So eating, you can meditate. You can rest by taking rest in order to get some strength for doing more service tomorrow. So even resting can be a meditation. A service, at least. Maybe you'll have dreams about Krishna. Once when I joined in this movement in 1968, and I was living in the ashram, that means like a joint dormitory, and I woke up in the night and the person sleeping next to me, he was chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare. I says, 1 in the morning. I want to sleep. What is this guy doing chanting? And then, so then I was going to go and tell him, go to sleep. But he was asleep. He was chanting in his sleep. Then I thought, Hari Bol. If you can meditate in your sleep, that's a perfection. Hardly you can meditate while you're awake, you know, and he's sleeping and he's meditating. So then I didn't disturb, okay. Whatever he's doing, he must be doing something pretty good. So true experience. So we hope that all of you see, we're trying to, bhakti yogis, they look like everybody else sometimes. They can dress in ordinary dress, they can do ordinary things, but their consciousness is totally different. They're seeing everything in relationship with the Absolute Truth. And everything they're doing for a higher purpose. So if you can't do that, I mean, that's to practice doing that. Or just do something for a higher purpose sometimes, and that will also help you. But if you can do it all the time, then you're a bhakti yogi. And the bhakti yogi, as Krishna said, they're the most intimately united with Him. It's the highest yoga because it's a 24-hour yoga. Even our married people, they're having children for Krishna. That's their yoga practice. They can have sexual relationship as a service to God in their family life, if they do it in the proper way. So everything can be done as a devotional service under the guidance of a proper spiritual master. So somehow I just opened a book today and this verse opened. So I thought, this is usually too advanced a verse for a Sunday feast. We usually just tell people, you're not the body, you are a spirit soul, this is a karma, but this is very advanced. But somehow this verse opened, so I thought, okay, maybe these people have heard all the basic things so many Sundays in a row, except for the first timers, that let's go for it. So I hope it wasn't too heavy for you. I think you all look very spiritual. If there are any questions, you can tell me yes, sir.
So yes, you told God is almighty, but we all in this world are suffering. I don't know, as you told in your lecture, we have problems with the relations, wife and husband, boyfriend and girlfriend, fighting to get a job, earning money. Even devotees over here, if they don't go and sell the books or don't do service, they are not respected. So what's all this life? Why is it all happening? When God is almighty, why can't He change all these things? Is He playing a game with us?
Well, interesting question. Of course, I guess what I said was implied in what I said. It wasn't exactly what I said, but you can read that into it. It's indicated. It brings up a whole bigger topic. What is this world? Who are we? What is God? How does this material world function? See, there's a spiritual world. beyond this material world, where Krishna does everything the way he wants it. And there's no hard struggle for existence. There's no offensive natures. Everybody's in a loving nature, peaceful. It's called Vaikuntha. No problem, no anxieties. No birth, no death, no old age. So that's the God's spiritual kingdom. But there are some people that want to know what it's like where they can do things their way, not God's way. And somehow there's a collection of these people in the what's called material world. And some of them are more favorable to the Lord, and some of them are less favorable, or not favorable at all. And here he gives directions on what should be done in holy books called scriptures. But he leaves it up to the people whether they want to follow or not. It's like you can buy a tape recorder and there's a book comes with the, or a CD or something comes with the equipment from the manufacturer. If you follow the manufacturer's instruction, probably the machine will last longer and won't break. But if you want to just play around with it and use it, you can also do that. But if you push a few wrong buttons and break it, that's your own responsibility. It's not the manufacturer's fault. So like that, in this material world, he gives us this freedom to do what we want to do. And he also then to make a fair playing field. For everyone, whatever they do, they get a reaction. It's called laws of karma. So whatever they're doing, they have the freedom to do what they want, but then they also have the responsibility to take the reaction. So when the world goes through four cycles, that's a cycle when everybody in the world is almost very much in harmony with God. That's called the golden age. And there's very little problems then. Few aberrations, but mainly it's very peaceful. 100% people are, even in the material world, they're really God conscious. Then it goes to the silver age, which is about 75%. The golden age, golden, silver, bronze age, 50%. Now we're in the iron age, 25%. 75% is materialistic and maximum about 25% is godly. 25% is the upper region and then down depending where we are. So that's why right now, because we're in this final age, we see some really bad environments. Even when people profess religion, they don't really love God, they become sectarianists. They say, my religion is the only way, everyone else is not even worth living. This kind of, they don't see that everybody, all the human beings, all the animals, all the creatures, they're all created by the same Supreme Being. They all have their sanctity. Nobody should be slaughtered, nobody should be killed unnecessarily. So it's a big question that to get the whole overview, because we tend to put all the blame on the Supreme Lord. If he wanted to, he could deliver the whole universe and just send us back. But we don't want to go. But so what he's done is given us the option. If you want to go back, chant my names. 50, 60, 100 years, you're going to live 20, 30 years more, whatever it takes. You come back to me. Show that you want to come back. Start chanting my names. Start doing the service. I'll take you back. No problem. So if somebody really wants to get back, they should show that, because what the people do in the spiritual world, everyone serves God. So start serving God here. Show that you really want to do that. practice it, get a taste, see how you like it. Because even if you do it here, it doesn't matter here or there. You do it here, you also start to feel good about it. So it's predicted actually that there'll be a golden period in this iron age of 10,000 years where people will become spiritualized. And we are supposed to be now just at the twilight, just at the beginning of that age. We don't know what it's going to take to bring it on. If it'll happen gradually, just by a gradual awakening, or there has to be some big catastrophe that shakes everybody up. There's no roadmap exactly how it happens. So just a prediction that it will happen. And that it happens because people chant the names. And the atmosphere in the world changes because of the presence of that holy vibration. So for our part, we're trying to bring a change by chanting the holy names. So if you know how that in the material world He's given us the freedom to accept Him or not to accept Him, then can't really blame Him if we make a mess of things. It's just like there's enough food in the world to feed everybody. There's no shortage of food, but why some people are starving? Because our distribution system is like that. Some countries throw their grains in the ocean to keep the market price high. Meanwhile, other people are starving. So it's not God that didn't make enough food, but we don't have a proper distribution system. I don't want to get political about it, not that way, but just, practically speaking. Any other question? Yeah? What's your name? What was your name, Prabhu? Ramesh.
Krishna
Triya. Ramesh Krishna Triya.
Kamalesh Ramesh.
Kamalesh Krishna.
Yeah.
And your name?
Karim Alal.
Karim Alal. Okay, Karim.
It's not more a question, it's just my own experience. Myself, I ask also, why are we suffering? We take suffering as something bad, but Jesus Christ suffered more than us. He learned from his suffering, so it's also a gift from God, because as we separate from God, we get into darkness, and then we hit our heads on the wall because we can't see where we want. So it's just a simple thing.
Yeah, we can take obstacles as stepping stones to success.
That's true, but yet while we are suffering, that's why I was just to give an answer of what we want.
Thank you.
You were mentioning that the ultimate prayer of Krishna, and how ultimately we will be in love, and ultimately when we become intimate with Krishna, that's the highest. And I would say my question is mostly devotees who even sincerely imagine of tomorrow. It's very hard to find anticipation from Krishna. And that's why people get dogs or cats. To the anticipation in terms of affection. So, with Krishna, it's in service, service, service. Like, how do you feel the difficulty? How do you feel care?
Is there tissue? How do you know about, well, yeah, here. That was a few years ago. Somebody asked me that question, and I was really shocked. I mean, I never realized that everybody doesn't feel the reciprocation and the love that I was feeling. And I really that happened to me about 1997. Then I just realized maybe that devotees need more care or something. I tried to be more caring and reciprocal with or kind to devotees. Sometimes it happens, just like Harin said, it happens sometimes in unique ways. Sometimes you really put out everything and you almost think you're going to break. You think that I can't do anymore. It's just like at my limit. And you just give that little bit extra because it's a big festival, because it's something that warrants it, that needs it. And then there's some kind of like a special mercy that it just floods down on you, that was all like a test. Do you really want to give? Or is it just, if it's easy you'll give, and if it goes a little tough you won't give? And a few, it's like maybe here in Switzerland there's a lot of mountains, so maybe mountain climbers maybe experience that. You're climbing the mountain and then finally after everything's over you reach the top. I don't know, I never climb mountains, so spiritual mountains. But it's, I would imagine it's that kind of a feeling when you finally get to the top, but I don't know, you gotta get down. And see, there the problem is you have to go down again. We're here spiritually, you don't have to go down. You reach that level and then you can stay there and go further out. And there's a new mountaintop. There's a new... So I don't know, it's... someone has the proper guidance of a spiritual master, they could see why they're not feeling that reciprocation. Initially, I always got reciprocation, so it's difficult. That's why I was really shocked when I was thinking, I thought that I must be getting less reciprocation than everybody else, but then some people, or maybe they're just getting it and they don't recognize it. And there's so many ways to get reciprocation when you're doing your service. But there's different levels of devotional service. So maybe in the beginning levels, it says that when you start chanting Hare Krishna and then you fall asleep. Everybody ever do that with chanting Hare Krishna and they dozed off? And the Shastra says that's a sign of advancement. Because first you're chanting, you're so tensed up that when you're chanting and you actually get relaxed, you get like very peaceful from the chanting. And the first effect of being so peaceful is it's not the highest level, that's a very low level, but you're advancing, you know. At least you got peaceful, right? You could relax. So like that, there's 8 levels. And you can see which level you're in. And within each level then there's sub-levels. So you can kind of road map out how you're advancing. But sometimes when we look forward, we see, well, pure devotion looks so far away, pure love is so far away, and we get like almost demoralized. Like, well, I'm never going to be able to reach it. And it's like, I'm way down here and it's way up there. But then sometimes you have to look back. Where were we? How much conditioned we were, how much suffering we were, how much stressed out we were, and then we've actually come a long way. But it's a long journey. So sometimes you have to see that where you were, and then see how far you've come. Not only look, and they kind of just, instead of like aiming, okay, right, you kind of make short term, like step by step going up. So it said there's the 8 levels of, 8 main levels. First is having faith, those sraddha, bhajana, satsanga, associating, being able to relish the association of devotees, to appreciate the association of spiritual people, then to start to appreciate the practicing, the chanting, the services. Some people find difficulty chanting, but they like to read. Some people like to come and do a little service at the temple, cleaning, helping out, that some people, so that's then kind of working on our own mind, trying to control what we think about, what we don't think, so going through the different techniques of intelligence over mind. When we do that, that's called bhajana kriya, that's called anarchana vritti, purifying our heart from the different negative vibrations and negative outlooks. And then we become fixed in devotional service. That becomes very easy. From that level, we're already 50% there. Then after that, we get a taste. When we're chanting, when we're serving, we actually feel blissful, we feel happy. So there's a constant reciprocation at that level. So in between, you may get glimpses of reciprocation, but from that level, from ruchi, you're getting a constant taste. But so some people, they may be struggling on level number 2, and they haven't got up to level number 5 yet. So they're not getting a constant reciprocation, but they are making progress. There's some symptoms to that progress, so they can see that I'm making progress. And then when one gets a constant taste, they become very happy about that, very attached to that. Then that's the next step, which is called ashakti. You can't, then they're almost unrootable. You can't get them off of the spiritual path. They're very much attached to it. And then from that, the attachment goes deeper and deeper, until then they get ecstasy. Where they really, what's the same, like the crying and the tears and the hairs on end and the throat choking up and many different symptoms of ecstasy. Almost continually. We try to not reveal those publicly because of various directions from our previous acharyas, spiritual masters. So kind of the roadmap is there, and we can see how we're making progress and what are the obstacles. But I mean, it's so many things. Like one day, I was catching a flight to Bangkok from Calcutta by Thai Airways. And I had booked a seat in a business class. But I had an okay reservation, everything. They said, "I'm sorry, your reservation is lost." I said, "How can it be lost? What do you mean? I mean, you're like, it's a big airline. It's not like, you know, Bangladesh Biman or something. How can you do that?" "I'm sorry, but we'll make it up for you. We'll give you a refund, whatever, or something. But somehow your seat is lost. You have to sit back in row 55 or something." "Okay." Then I'm in row, whatever it is, 45, 50. And I'm sitting there on the aisle seat. I look over to my right. And of course now everybody wears beads, but in those days not everybody used to wear beads. I look and I saw a young man, and he was wearing beads. He was wearing a shirt and pants. I was in my monk robes. And I said, "Hare Krishna." "Maharaj, I was trying to escape." "I wanted to run away and go to Bangkok. Go to Maya. And you're here." I said, "What's wrong? What's the problem? Why did you not, you know?" I talked to him, and then, you know, it was some petty thing. I had a fight with somebody. And then took him over to Malaysia instead, and he was doing some stuff. He was a devotee from Scotland or somewhere that was serving in Mayapur. So then, you know, so many, like, I could give you, like, so many things like that where you know that Krishna, you're like a puppet. You're just, Krishna puts you in the right place. I give a class, sometime after class, someone walk up to me. I may become like, "I'm here in Zurich. I've been here one after a year, maybe. I know some, many of the devotees here, but I don't have any agenda. I'm just speaking whatever comes, you know, into my consciousness." But sometimes like that, I may go to a place and someone after the end of class come up and say, "Why were you picking on me in your class? Why did you single me out? Who told you that I had that problem?" I said, "I didn't know anything." sometimes you have a dream of the spiritual master and he comes and he tells you something. So many different ways. I mean, you get reciprocation, or you know that. For me, when I see somebody I've tried to help, and later they come and they just say, you know, Maharaj, things are really going better for me after you helped, you know, gave me the counseling and everything. I mean, I met one man, he told me that for 26 years he was chanting Hare Krishna, but he doesn't feel any happiness. But I said, he's not a member of the Hare Krishna movement, because many people in India chant Hare Krishna. It's a very popular mantra. It's not, we don't have this exclusive monopoly, although in the West we are the, you know, propagating it. So then I just asked the person, do you chant the names of Chaitanya first? Because Chaitanya, he gave a special blessing that if you chant his name and chant Hare Krishna, then you get all of this reciprocation and this advancement very fast. He said, no, nobody ever gave me that, and he told me about that. So I wrote him down the Panchatattva mantra, the Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Sri Vasari Gaur Bhaktivinoda. Gave him the mantra and then said, you try chant this before you chant Hare Krishna. 3 months later, I came back to the place. This man came running at me. I thought, you know, what's going on? He's running and, Maharaj, Maharaj! He dived and grabbed my feet. I said, what are you doing? What are you doing? And then he said, what mantra you gave me? Now whenever I chant, I feel so much love. The tears are... And he was like so emotional. I was like, wow. So sometimes as a propagator, you find so many symptoms of how it's helping people. Like your doctor, you give them medicine and then you see the medicine works. It also reinforces your faith. Okay, I better let you all take your feast. I'm sorry. I'll be around. Well, I'm not the boss here. Who's the boss? Yeah, okay, so you can come and ask me personally, and I'll just sit here. But everybody else, let me have a... This is Switzerland. Everything has to go according to time. And I'm already late. But what I can do is come up, and I'll give you... I have some special Narasinghe oil that helps to remove obstacles from Ashta Aushadhi, 8 medicinal essential oils from India and 11 special floral oils that were used to bathe Narasinghadev. And you put this on your forehead and it should help you to get over any problems in your life. It smells good too. You can come up and then get your oil. Where do they go for prasadam? Only one line for ladies and one for men.